Well, welcome everybody to Voice of Believers Church for Wednesday night edition. Hallelujah. Hello? Testing? Praise God. Good to see everybody. All the smiling faces. Everybody get full? Yes, I did too. It was good, bud. We're going to. Can you pass out the envelopes? Those who got their hands up, please. We're going to take up an offering. She's going to pass out envelopes. Let's see here. That's true. Well, you can always put the envelope into the pew upper or put it in there empty. He wants to do the offering thing. Can he do it? Okay. Our text is out of, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. I like that. God is what? He's able. God's able to make grace. And grace means his favor and his blessings in your life abound toward you. That word you, that's you and me. That stands for you and me. God's favor and his blessings will abound towards us. That you always have an all sufficiency, in other words, enough, everything you need in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So not only as we're given into God's kingdom, we're tithers and givers, and God takes care of our needs, but also he'll make sure we have enough for every good work. I'm here to tell you, since I've been my relationship and got born again with Jesus Christ, God has always supplied my needs. And when my heart wanted to give and to every good work or be a blessing somewhere, he's always made sure the money was there, the offerings to be that blessing, praise God. And God's always given back. I mean, it's amazing. You know, he's never let us down one time. Monica and I have never let down one time. In fact, there's times that he's provided us with vacation trips. I'm talking about all week-long paid vacation trips, all kinds of one, hunting trips, all kinds of blessings. God's just good. I'm telling you, he's good. It's nice to live in this world. We're not other world, but we're in this world as Christians. But it's nice to live here and that you don't have to be in fear. You can have a faith in a God that can take care of you. You can't see him, but you see all the creation that he has here, and you know he's in your spirit, he's in your heart. You know, when you got saved, and you know he's there, and you got his word. And it's nice to know you can depend on him in a world that's so, it's not as dependable, it seems like, even with, I'm not going to say nothing about my government. I'm going to say my government's blessed, it's healed. I'm going to say my government's healed. Look, we need to pray for him. In fact, I'm going to say this real quick. Let's pray over those offerings. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You said in your word we can believe for a 30, 60, or 100-fold return, a 1,000-fold return. Lord, it's however we believe. Some believe for more than that, me and being to return on their giving. Lord, just to put back in your gospel, Lord, because you to go out there and meet the needs of mankind and to spread your word, your gospel of the good news, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Kirk, can you pick that up, please, sir? Thank you. In the back foyer, go ahead. In the back foyer, on the exit door on that side on the foyer, there is actually voting. Monica and I went to Franklin County Precinct 2, which is our precinct, and we went in there and we printed it out and we circled the ones that were most pro-life, conservative, pro-life, the love of Jesus, and that we could find, and the Constitution people that we could find. Now, and then there was a few of them we were kind of questioning about, so we looked them up and see which ones the liberals hated. So we said, hey, they got to be good. And the liberals hated them. So, I know you have your own voting, whatever you want, but you can look at them and see if that goes with yours. Because it took, I don't know, two hours for Monica, 3 hours to look that up Saturday morning, study and try to figure all this out and praying and see which way God led us and which way we're going to go. And when we go shopping for the church, paper towels, toilet paper, soap, whatever, we don't even use the tax-free deal. They're not bribing me. I'm not going to be bribed off their tax-free deal. But you can't. You got to be separation church and state. You can't say nothing in the pulpit about what you know, as far as the candidate or believe or whatever. I'm not worried about it. They can forget it. They're not going to bribe me with their money. You know, we need the whole government full of good, honest Christians that love Jesus. And this nation would be turned around right now instead of the way it is right now. So praise God. All right, Pastor Monica, you got to bring the word tonight. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yeah. We'll say that, you know, your vote won't count, but you know what? We're not responsible for the outcome, but our vote is our seed. And God needs something to work with. So when we plant our seed, God will take care of it. Amen. We don't have to compromise. We can trust God. Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone. We'll pray for everyone that didn't make it. And children are released. Amen. Children are released. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? I'm going to pray before I start. Amen. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that your word said to study, to show yourself approved. I did, but Lord, just anoint me now as I release this message, your message, Lord. Because this is a life-changing message because it's full of your word. And your word is life. Your word is power. It's alive. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles, just like your word said. I'm asking, Lord, that we would each of us leave here different than the way we came in. We would leave here encouraged, healed, set free, delivered. And Satan, I bind you now from stealing the word. I bind you from operating here in any way, in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm continuing my series on developing a strong spirit. This is number 5. The first one is, what is a strong spirit and how do you get it? The second one was, how to develop it, how to maintain it. Number 3 was, signs of a weak spirit. How can you tell if your spirit is weak? Number 4 was, what does a strong spirit look like? And we had technical difficulties, so I need to redo that one. But the others are on CDs or on our website. And tonight, it's number 5, getting rid of things that would keep us from having a strong spirit. Because we need a strong spirit. Amen. My foundational scriptures is Proverbs 18:14. And it says this. Proverbs 18, verse 14. This is the Amplified. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? And then Proverbs 24:10. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Or if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Another version, if you slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. See, if our spirit is weak, then we won't be able to walk in the blessing. And if we're not walking in the blessing, we won't have anything to protect us from the curse. Because we could see that the curse is out there, right? It's out there. But we have a blood covenant with Jesus that guarantees the blessing. But see, we won't walk in it if our spirit is weak, right? So we need a strong spirit. And we need to stay in faith. So I want to talk about what are the enemies of a strong spirit. What will keep us from having a strong spirit? Well, the first one is the cares of this world, fear and worry. If you still have that care, if you're still thinking about it and worrying about it, you haven't rolled it over to God, right? Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In the New Living, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Another one says, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles. Amen. Let's see. The King James says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. So what are we to do? We are to set them aside. Anything that would hold us back, we need to set it aside. Throw it off. Get it off of us. Amen. If we're still trying to figure out how to get out of it, then we still have it. We have not cast the care of it onto God. And that's what we need to do. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And it says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Amen. We cast, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Throw all your worry on him because he cares for you. Right? We need to roll the weight of it onto God. Let's look at Psalms 55, verse 22. Psalms 55, verse 22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be moved. Amen. Or the New Living says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Another version says, cast your cares upon the Lord and he will support you. And he will never give terror to his righteous ones. See, we need to roll the care of it onto God. He's inviting us to roll the worries onto him because he can fix it. We can't, but he can fix it. And so that's the biggest thing that can hinder us is fear and worry and anxiety. It's like a heavy weight. We need to give it to him. He can handle it. Let's look at Ezekiel 21. Verse 7, and it says this, and this is in the Amplified, I believe. It says, and when they say to you, why do you sigh and groan? You shall answer, because of the news that is coming, and every heart will melt, and all hands will be frail, and every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and it will happen. Another version says, why are you groaning? And you say, because the news that is coming, every heart will melt with fear and every hand will go limp and every spirit will become faint and every leg will be wet with urine. That's in there. Another version says, I groan because of the terrifying news I have heard. When it comes true, the boldest heart will melt with fear and all strength will disappear. See, we can't handle fear, right? It'll make our spirits weak. And so we have to cast. You know, when we have bad news, we don't hang on to it. And there's a lot of that right now, isn't there? What do? We take it to the Lord. We take it to God, and we leave it there. And I'm going to go in a little bit more detail later on. Because it'll get heavier and heavier and heavier. And it will not go off by itself. We have to roll it off and give it to him. He can handle the load. Let's look at Matthew 11:28. And this is Jesus. And this is what he says. This is his heart for us. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that good? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are toiling and being burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's his heart. So, Father God, we come to you, and we cast all of our fears, we cast all of our anxieties, we cast all of it over onto you, Lord. And we just thank you that you take the burden away from each one of us, in Jesus' name. Now, the second one is yielding to the flesh. That's the second one that is an enemy to a strong spirit. Let's look at Psalms 31:10. Psalms 31:10 says this. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. In the New Living, it says, I'm dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. It's pretty bad. The English Standard Version says, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. You know, sin is a trap from the enemy. Sin will steal, kill, and destroy. And I'll tell you, if sin wasn't tempting, no one would fall for it, right? But see, it's a trap, and traps are made to trap us. And it's going to look good, it's going to sound good, it's going to smell good, it's going to sound good, but it's not good. How are we going to know? We got to be in the Word. If it's not of God, it's not good. Because sin will take you farther than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it's a higher price than we ever want to pay. And so yielding to the flesh will hinder us. We do not need to give in. Don't give in to it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And it says this. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. The New Living says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. I exhort you as aliens and sojourners to abstain from fleshly desires which wage war against your soul. It's a war going on. And it's not against flesh and blood, although the enemy uses flesh and blood. It's against spiritual powers. And he knows how to tempt us with desires. Let's look at Proverbs 19:3. And we're talking about the enemies of a strong spirit. We're going to get into the good stuff when we get past this. Proverbs 19:3 says this, a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. Or people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. I've found that to be true. You know, I didn't make a mess of my life because I was following God. I didn't make a mess of my life because I was following his instructions. No, I was making bad decisions. And it wasn't just one, neither. And so I still blame God. God, what kind of God lets this happen, right? But it was my own decisions. Of course, I was deceived by the enemy, right? And I didn't turn my life around by one good decision. I learned that the hard way. You got to keep doing it. And the more you do it, the better it gets. And we learn it through the Word of God. And we'll get into the Word of God more. I love the Word. Let's look at Ezekiel 18:30 says this. Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. All we have to do is turn around, turn away. And we have the power to do it. When we're born again, see, before we were born again, each one of us was born into the kingdom of darkness. Each one of us. The only way out is to get born again. When we're born again, in Colossians 1:13, it says, we've been born into God's kingdom. Isn't that good? So we're no longer under his power anymore. And then we also get his own Holy Spirit. And then we have the Word. We have to have the Word to renew our minds to find out how to live this new life. And now we have the power to, and we can get free. Free, and he works from the inside out. Free in our minds, free in our hearts, and then it starts working in our families and all around us. Just don't give up. Never give up. And that's why we're supposed to come to church, so we can encourage each other, pray for each other, and learn from each other. Amen. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. I love this. 1 John 1:9 gives instructions. And it says this: if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, isn't that good? That's good. In the Amplified, it says this: if we freely admit that we have sinned, and we all do, and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. And see, what does that mean? It means now he's able to because Jesus paid the price. Now he is able to because Satan can't accuse us no more. And will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose. Now that's good news. Oh, you know, our nature wants to run away and hide like Adam and Eve. But no, God said, come to me and I will. That's what the blood's for. Come to me and I'll wash you. Isn't that good? And then let's look at James 4:7. We're talking about yielding to the flesh will weaken your spirit. And James 4:7 says this: submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like that, because most of my life, another version is yield yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, most of my life, I yielded myself to the devil, and I resisted God, right? Because that's how I was raised and trained. But now, I submit myself to God through his word, and then I resist the devil, and he flees. He gets out of my life. And so if we follow his instructions, we'll get free. You know, what did Jesus do? Well, he told Peter, right in the garden, he said, I prayed for you, Peter, so that you won't give in to temptation. We are to resist it. Plus, when Jesus was led into the desert, in the wilderness, to be tempted, what did he do? Well, he obeyed the word and he spoke the word. He spoke the word to Satan every time he was tempted. He said, nope, that's not what God said. God said this. That's how we resist the devil. That's how we resist temptation. And if you want to look at that in your own time, that's going to be Matthew 4, Matthew 26, Luke 22, and Mark 14. So what do? We are to resist it. We are to lay aside anything that keeps us from being strong in our spirit. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay aside every weight, everything that would try to trip us up, everything that would try to lure us away from you. Each one of us here, we lay it at your feet, Father. And I thank you that as we do that, we are getting free in every way. In Jesus' name. Number three, that's an enemy, is an overloaded life. I think most of us have to watch that. An overly busy life. Because then you don't have time for the Lord. And so we have to make time for God. We have to. We have to work our life around the word because we need it, especially such a time as this. The enemy's time is running short. I'm glad because Jesus is coming anytime, thank goodness. And you know what? We're his bride and we are ready. Don't let the enemy lie. We were made ready by the blood of Jesus. And so he can come anytime. Till then, we have to keep preaching the good news and get as much people saved and healed and delivered as we can and keep resisting the enemy. Get him underneath our feet. And so he knows he's running out of time. But now, more than any other time, we need to make time for God's word. You know, because the world doesn't have the answer. They have some answers, but they don't have every answer. This has the answer. This is the answer. God is the answer for healing and deliverance. Healing of our families. Healing of our minds. Healing of our bodies. In every way, God has the answer. So we have to work our life around him. Because fear is the open door to the enemy. And there's a lot of fear right now. Worry is an enemy. It's another form of fear, and it's an open door to the enemy. So we have to take the time to maintain a strong spirit so we can resist that worry, we can resist that fear, and keep giving it to God. You know, we don't want to be too busy that we don't have time for His Word. Because when we're under pressure, suppose it's a financial pressure. You know those thoughts, those bills are coming in, you still have other needs that are unmet, and the enemy's telling you, you're going to lose your house, they're going to come get your car, whatever it is. We have to have the strength and the promises and the Word to know what to do. Isn't that true? Well, in a time like that, in order to get rid of that heaviness, we're going to have to immerse ourselves in the presence of God. We're going to have to immerse ourselves in the promises of provision. If it's financial, look for the promises that promise finances. If it's healing in your family or whatever it is, find those promises and soak in them. You're going to have to keep them before your eyes, keep it coming in your ears, keep it coming out of your mouth, and then keep it in your mind and in your heart so that it'll answer you. It'll answer to you. Its situation will come up and the Word will pop up that you need. We have to stay full of the Word because that's our strength. That is what will make us strong. Because we have to immerse ourselves in the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. Amen. So we have to get into the Word in order for us to receive it. Amen. Because all those thoughts of fear and worry, they're not going to go away unless we tell it to go away. Amen. And I'll tell you, we can either choose to meditate on God's Word, His promises, or we can choose to meditate on fear and worry. I don't want to do that. It's not good for us. We need to meditate on God's promises. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 24. And it says this. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. No, that's the wrong one. Here it is, Matthew 6, 24, sorry. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and hate the, be against the other. You cannot serve God and deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever that you're trusting in. This is the Amplified. Therefore, I tell you, this is Jesus, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. You know, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life greater than food and greater than what you wear on your body? Amen. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worthy? Are you not worth much more than that? This is Jesus. We are worth much more than that. We are a special creation. And who are you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit to his stature or to the span of his life? In other words, all this trying to figure it out and worrying is not going to help. It's not going to do nothing good, not one thing. So why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin clothes. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his magnificence, was never arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is gone, how much more will he clothe you, O man of little faith? Right? This So, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to wear? For the Gentiles, they seek all these things. But, this is for us, but we are to seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and that all these things will come to you. In the King James, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you. See, the ones that are outside of God's kingdom, they have to seek after those things. They don't have a covenant. But we are in the covenant. We're in the covenant. So when we seek first, that's what he said, seek first God's kingdom and his way of doing things, these things will come to us. Isn't that good? But we're not going to know unless we're taught. We're not going to know unless we're in there. Isn't that good? Let's look at Luke 10:38. See, a good example of putting God first place is going to be Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38 says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset about all these things. But there's only one thing that is worth being concerned about, and Mary has found it. Wow, I used to think that's so unfair. But Mary was doing the right thing, putting God first. Just make a pizza. You don't have to be fancy, is what he's saying. He's saying we have to take the time of being at the Lord's feet. And Mary, she got something out of it. She got the word. And she got the word in her spirit. But Martha was overly occupied and too busy. She was distracted with much serving. Another translation says troubled about many things. So we need to put the word of God first place and make it final authority in all things. If, say, if we're trying to get ahead financially, what do? Well, the first thing we do is we sit at the feet of Jesus and we get in the word of God. The word has to be first place. Then we find out what the word says about finances. And in finances, it says to tithe. So if you make $10, you tithe $1. And then you sow. And then you sow whatever you feel led to sow. Now you're getting somewhere. Because now you got God involved in the situation. And when you have God involved, he's going to make sure you have what you need. Amen? And so in any area of your life, whether it be your marriage, or whether it be your parenting, or whether it be your job, find the scriptures. You know, you be in the word every day and apply it to your marriage. Apply it to your kids. Apply it to your job. Whatever the situation is, and you're getting God in your situations. Amen? Get him involved in every part of your life. You know, for instance, if you have coworkers that are hard to deal with, walk in love. Walk in love and forgive them and be the light. And when you're doing that, you're doing it God's way. And when you're praying for them, you're getting God involved. And so, for instance, again, tithing. You tithe and you sow. And you tithe and you sow. And you make the word number one. You're not going to be, I'm telling you, it's not going to be long before God turns things around. He's never let us down. And I'll tell you, Lyle has tried to outgive God. I remember one time, this is when we were first learning getting training and recovery, and I was upset. I was upset. I went and told my mentor, I said, he's given too much. I was so mad. I think he's given more than 10%. I don't know, but it's way too much. And so my mentor said, well, maybe we need to make an appointment with the pastor and tell on him. I said, okay, I'll do that. I was going to do that too. And so I'm headed to the car. And before I get to the car, God's telling me, you could do that. You could bring him down to your level, but is that what you want to do? And I was like, oh. I said, you're right. You're right. And another thing my mentor told me is we needed to be in agreement. Because I was mad. Because I thought he was not being responsible by giving too much. And so God told me, you're right. You can bring him down to your level, but why not go up to his level? I never would have thought of that. I said, okay, I'll do it. So I went to Lyle and I apologized. I said, you give whatever you want, and I'll be in agreement. And ever since then, we've had no problems. Because it was scary to me, but now I think I'm more on fire to give as he is now. But see, the more we know the Word of God, the freer we're going to get. Actually, the more we know and act on the Word of God, the freer we're going to get. And I'll tell you, I read it, and I apply it, and I say it, and I think about it every day, because I like to be free. And you know what? That's where faith comes. Let's look at that. Let's look at Romans 10:17. It says this. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. In the King James, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, there's a lot of things we're going to receive by being prayed over, laying on of hands, a lot of things, but faith comes by the word of God, hearing it and hearing it. That's the only way. And, you know, we're not going to have a strong spirit if we don't have faith, and we're not going to have faith if we're not hearing the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. I'll tell you, we're not going to get it from hearing, watching the news. In fact, you'll get a lot of fear and anger if you watch a lot of it. If I watch the news, I'll pray right then and there. You know, Lyle usually gives me a report, and I say, okay, I'm praying now. Anything else? We're not going to get faith from secular stuff. We're going to get it from the Word of God. We have to keep it coming into our eye, before our eyes, in our ears, out of our mouth. We don't want to say the world stuff. We want to say the Word. And it'll get deep into our mind and deep into our heart. So it will talk to us and be there for us. That's what we need to do. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1 again. I want to look at the Amplified. And it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? Absolute faithfulness. Stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly, that's the enemy, easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that would distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. Amen? That's what we need to do. Amen? In fact, what I would suggest is maybe writing down a list of anything that might be holding you back, whether it be anger. I used to have an anger. Oh, I was one angry person. Whether it be jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, I would write it down, lay it before the Lord, find the scriptures that pertain to that, follow the instructions, and then cast the care of it onto God. And I'll tell you, you'll find yourself lighter and free. I don't know if you're familiar with motorcycle racing, but that's apparently a big thing. And they were trying to make the fastest motorcycle in the world. And they quickly discovered you can't put the biggest engine because it slows them down. So they had to find a way to get the fastest engine, but yet it had to be so light it could go fast. So they started stripping away, taking off everything that was not needed. They were shaving off wherever they could, on the engine, on the motorcycle, whatever they could find. But it couldn't be too light because they had to be able to control it. Well, the fastest one in the world right now is the Ninja H2. And it's even overtaking the Kawasaki Ninja ZX14R from 2012, which even beat the Ducati. You know, that's what we need to do. We have a race, and we need to take off anything that will keep us from running that race. Anything that's not necessary. You know, the stronger we'll become, right? The more we can receive from God. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father God, we just come before you, and I just thank you, Lord, that you do have plans to bless us and not to harm us. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us everything we need to live a godly life. And, Lord, that you are helping us to get free from those things that would hinder us. You're helping us get free from those things that keep us trapped and stuck. And all, well, that's right, Lord. You said you sent your word to heal us and deliver us from our destructions. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for each household here, each one of us here, Lord, that we are getting free from anything and everything that would try to distract us and keep us from you and your word. And if there's any of you that are listening to this, you have a CD or you're on our website, and you don't know if you know Jesus, he died for everyone. All who are needing him have to just call upon his name, and he will save you. He said all those who call upon his name, the name of Jesus, will be saved. You just got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and he's raised up from the dead and on the right hand of God the Father. If you believe that and ask him into your heart, he will come into your heart. But don't stay there. Make him the Lord of your life. Make him your Lord, because then he will lead you away from the curse, away from all those things that are hurting you, and he will lead you towards the blessing. He will lead you towards freedom. If you prayed that prayer or you have a prayer request, just write us. You can email us. We're also on Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And Father God, I just release us now with the blessing, Lord, because your word said we're blessed going in, we're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed with whatever we put our hand to. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I thank you, Lord, that no sickness or disease will come near our dwelling, but you'll satisfy us with a long life. And Lord, we stand together for the healing of our land. You said, if my people who are called by my name will turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, you would hear us, you'd forgive us, and you would heal our land. So, Lord, we just thank you for healing our land. Thank you for raising up godly men and women to be our leaders. And, Lord, just fill this nation with your wisdom. Fill this nation with your word so that we can be healed again. We just thank you, Lord, that as we leave here, we're going to be the light that we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you have any prayer requests.